This goes out to the AVS fam, to the crew getting ready at the Pepsi can. DJ Triple T banging thunder with the high jams. My dog Bernie Yan smiles in the West Stands.
The ColoradoHockey.com podcast is brought to you by FSwing.com, AVSFAM.com.
The Colorado Avalanche have played three hockey games this season, and two of them they have won. This makes them a team that is better than 500, even though it's only three games in. I know, that's not much to grab onto, but I'm grabbing what I can right now because you never know what's going to happen. So far, though, I like what our team can be. I'm a little concerned about what they are consistently, but I really like what they can be. 5 days ago, as the puck was dropping on the New York Rangers game, I told you guys that I think that Duchene is going to be awesome this year. And you know what? He's been pretty damn good. I don't know if we can call it awesome, but he's been pretty damn good considering his situation and everything that is going on. Let's take a quick sidebar to address the Forsberg comments. I don't know what happened in the Forsberg thing. The conversation's in Swedish, and he was asked some stuff, and he was being honest about it. He said basically that he would sit Duchene and then trade him, but you know what? He's not in the room. He doesn't see what's going on, and he hasn't been in Colorado for quite a while, and you know what? He was never on a losing team here either. He's clearly speaking out of school, and you know what? He gets a free pass because he's Forsberg, but don't even take it with a grain of salt. Just don't take it at all. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He was speaking out of school, and we should all just let this one go. Also, leave it to the media to go digging for these sort of things, right? They just love a good controversy, and I get it. It sells things, but it also sucks because it kind of taints the memory I have of Peter Forsberg. And at the same time, you go to read the story and the whole page pops up with an ad, and right away you just kind of get that cheesy vibe. Like, you know what? This is all about clicks. This isn't authentic. This isn't about hockey. So again, let's just let that go. So let's talk some hockey. During that Rangers game, I decided that there's three different versions of what our players can be on the ice. They could either be thriving, they could be surviving, or they could be dying. One of the three is always happening for any of the players on the ice, and I've decided this is my new metric for every game to decide how players are playing. I know it's not advanced stats, it's not Corsi, but it's pretty good. It gives you an idea of what's going on with the team right now. It gets your fingers on the pulse of the Avalanche. So let's start from the bottom on that. Who are the players who are dying right now? Well, it's pretty easy to find the ones that are dying because they're on the bench and they're getting scratched, like Carl Soderberg. During the Rangers game, Carl Soderberg was a no-show because he wasn't even allowed to play. He didn't get the invite. Nobody Eventbrite-ed him to come and play hockey. And you know what? It was the right call. Bednar did the right thing. Soderberg wasn't showing up, wasn't producing, wasn't being a results-based player. He was out there, not doing much, and not really helping anybody either. So he benched him, and it worked out pretty well because in the following two games, he showed up. Another player who wasn't on the ice, Big Z. Why? Because he didn't show up for camp and he wasn't ready to play hockey and he has a problem with taking penalties right now. He is on the verge of dying right now if he doesn't get his shit together and start to play good, consistent hockey for the Colorado Avalanche. So what about Mironov? He's one of these guys who's kind of on the bubble anyway, so for him to stay out of that dying zone, he's going to have to be consistent every time he gets a chance if he wants to travel with the team, stay in the same hotel, eat meals with the guys, and every now and then get in the lineup. The stakes for him are much more dire than somebody like Zadarov, who has all this potential, has all this upside. We're just trying to figure out how to get it out of him. For Mironov, we don't know for sure. We think he might have some of that, but he's going to have to prove it every single chance that he gets. So let's move on then. During the Rangers game, you could say fairly that there was a couple guys surviving who you'd expect to see thriving. Namely, Nathan MacKinnon and Gabriel Landeskog. Now, neither one of them was really playing all that bad, and they were doing a lot of the little things that nobody ever notices, nobody gives them credit for, but at the same time, they weren't really excelling at the things that are obvious, the things that end up in goals and apples. Nathan MacKinnon still struggles from his ability to slow things down when he needs to. He's a very fast player, and he thinks fast, and he stick handles fast, but often he just puts himself at a disadvantage because he loses the puck while he's stick handling, or there's nobody there to make the play with him. Sometimes there is, but every now and then you gotta slow it down, you gotta know who you're there with, use the tools that you have, and take advantage of the situation. I think that he's doing better with that, but he still has moments. He doesn't seem to have a click right now. He doesn't seem to have a guy that he's really gelling with. On the other side, Landy is finding ways to be relevant, even though it's not the typical ways. A lot of it right now has to do with sticking up for his players. During that Rangers game, many of you took offense when Landy got in the face of Rick Nash. And you know what? He was sticking up for one of his players. He was doing what he could on the ice to support the guys that are the skilled players, the young players, the guys who don't need to be taken advantage of by an overgrown teddy bear named Rick Nash. If you were one of the people out there writing that was stupid Landy tweets, no, you're stupid.
You're a stupid face.
Listen to me, it's all I'm saying is if you have a C on your chest, your job isn't what everybody else's job is. Your job is much more about the intangibles, about the things that nobody else wants to get credit for, and nobody else wants to do. You stick your nose in places you shouldn't because you're sticking up for your players. He's doing what a captain should do, so I'm going to give him a surviving on this one. I think he's got thriving right around the corner. Meanwhile, in the cracks of all these different categories I'm talking about are players like Como and Lindholm, who aren't really doing much either way. But that's not bad, considering that one of them's a defenseman and the other one's an old guy who we don't expect a lot from. So let's talk about players who are thriving right now. You have to admit it, people. Dutchie's playing really good hockey, and together he's playing really good hockey with Yakupov, and we now call that Dutchiepov.
Dutchiepov.
What, we can't benefit for a thing? Maybe you should go back and check our status on Biggie, because we've been calling Chris Beeger out Biggie for a long time, and they made it official during the last game. So you could say that we kind of have a history of calling it. Or you could say that we're dorks and we got lucky. Either one is true. I would say we're surviving. Also, let me just take a detour here to go back and say that Nieto is firmly in the dying area right now. I'm not sure what's not working for him, but he is not playing great hockey for the Colorado Avalanche right now. And as JBarb87 said on Twitter, Nieto needs to calm his Long Beach tits. I couldn't have said it better myself. But I digress. Let's talk players who are not just not dying, players who are not just surviving, players who are thriving right now. It might be a surprising list to you. Nico Rantanen hasn't fallen down more than once a game for all three games. To me, folks, that is thriving right there, but that's not all of his game. Right now, he has also brought a more physical game to the team, and he's still making the passes and seeing the ice the way that he had in the first season. It would be easy to look at Rantanen play hockey and say he's not really a physical player because he doesn't have the big, booming hits, but what he does is uses his body to shield the puck, uses his body to buy time so that he can make that sweet pass that nobody even saw as a possibility on the ice. That's Lemieux-ish, that's Yager-ish, that's the kind of thing that you want from a player like that, because if he's not taking big hits, he's also not sitting on the sidelines like AJ Greer.
T-boops.
What about Tyson Barrie? I mean, nobody really expected him to come in and start playing some awesome hockey, but he has. Remind yourself what happened last year. Tyson Barrie wasn't getting into the Bednar system. He wasn't playing good hockey, and honestly, it looked like he wasn't showing up ready to play hockey. But this season's been different. He's making a really good effort. He seems to understand the system and be buying into it. But even more importantly, he's scoring goals, which is what we want from Tyson Barrie. We understand that he's not an elite defenseman defensively. He's maybe an elite defenseman offensively. So one example of this is the goal that he scored. If you go back and you watch that thing in slow motion, like I have about 15 times, what you see is that he had his head up the entire way. As he was backing that stick up into the air, he had his head up looking to see what was open, looking to see who was open. On the way down, he was still looking. He didn't kill it with power, he killed it with precision.
But precision beats power, and timing beats speed, and that's what you saw there.
Conor McGregor knows it, Tyson Barrie knows it. It's about where you put it and when you put it. When Barry's on his game and he's playing in a system that allows him to be in a flow state, he's putting the puck in the back of the net, and that's what I want to see from Barrie, and that's why he is thriving. You know who else is thriving? Another defenseman. Get that, right? Last year, we were all hurt on defense, but this year, we're showing some improvement. We're showing some hope. And Eric Johnson came into camp ready to play hockey. He came in lighter because he understands it's a quicker and faster game. He also came in with the kind of leadership that we'd expect to see from a guy like him. If Landy wasn't our captain, Eric Johnson would be. Why? Because he gets it. He's there for the players, and he keeps it real. He doesn't give us a bunch of fluff. He doesn't talk shit. He just says what it is. I love that about Eric Johnson, and I love his game so far. To me, he's absolutely thriving both on the leadership side and on the hockey side. Think of it like this. When the puck goes into the corner and there are guys barreling down into that corner from the other team, you look and see which one of our defensemen is going into the corner, and then you go, we're going to be okay, or we're screwed. And when I see Eric Johnson go into that corner, even with two or three other guys from the other team, I'm like, we're going to be okay. He's got poise. He knows how to play the game. He's going to make the right play. We're going to get this out of the zone. We've only seen one or two attempts at the condo routine this year, but that to me is a sign of the system on the ice working a little bit better. Now he can pick and choose when he wants to spread his wings and be that condor, making a big shadow down the ice and putting the puck in the net. Two guys who have been thriving, who absolutely need to be thriving for this team right now, are the goaltenders, the guys wearing the funny shaped helmets. Varlamov, I kind of expected. He is healthy, he's come back, he's on a mission, and he's laser focused. He's making barley eyes at everybody, and he's playing really, really good hockey. But Bernier, I wasn't expecting him to be as good as he is, and I think he's a guy with something to prove, and he's absolutely proved it to me so far. I'm not saying I don't miss picks, but Bernier has given me a good reason to think that maybe the Avs made a good call. Yeah, I said it out loud. Case in point, one game for the Colorado Avalanche, and Bernier is already a candidate for save of the year. One game into the season, this guy made an amazing save. He even had to go back and check it because people are like, nah, no way, man, you didn't make that save. He totally made that save. Why? Because he's a legit goalie, and I think that as a backup, he's the kind of guy that we're going to really enjoy having around. If Vardy does get hurt, knock on whatever you have around you, hope it doesn't happen, this is a guy who could step in, and he might just get hot enough to take us into the playoffs if the rest of the team can play that good.
Goalies for the win.
As we roll around to this, it's possible I've missed a couple of people, but you know what? There are two guys in particular who I think are playing some really, really good hockey right now. Yakupov and Dutchie, or Dutchiepov. So I have this bad case of something I call musical association. When I see something or even just hear one keyword, songs start playing in my head. And the first song that I hear when I see Yakupov score a goal or Dudgy and Yakupov make a really good play is this. Tyson Berry has coined him as Terry. I like to call him Yak. You can call him whatever you want. You might as well just call him awesome so far. Here's a guy that people had very low expectations for who's shown up and playing some really good hockey so far. As fan, I think the combination of Dutchy and Yakupov or Dutchupov is great because both of these guys have something to prove. One guy may not even be here soon. The other guy is here on a bet, on a very cheap bet when it comes to hockey, that he is going to play good hockey, but we're not going to invest too much in him. And he took that bet because he hasn't played good hockey up until this point. Meanwhile, we have Duchene, who is a really good player, but is widely known that the Avs want to get rid of him. Or do they? I think that they probably shouldn't at this point, but I don't know if they can take it back. I mean, he might just get to the point where he gets us the player that we wanted. Joe Sakic makes what was probably the right call, but not the popular call, and everybody's pissed, yet we have a different player. Either way, Dutchy's here right now, Yakupov is here right now, and they're playing good hockey, and I think that we need to embrace that. I'm enjoying it, and I know you guys are too, because I have Twitter, and I see you guys blow up when these guys do good. This is a really cool story, and I think everybody loves it, and they want to see the best.
Sleeping late.
Music pause. Case in point on the chemistry of Dutchupov is that you could hear Dutchy and Yak out there in the corners louder than anybody else. Dutchy yelling, Yak, Yak, right here, Yak. And when Dutchy gets the puck on the boards, you know what he does? He looks for Yak because he knows that Yak is going to go for it. He's throwing it down the ice, which paid off in the last game that we played where Yak went all the way down the ice, beat Tuukka Rask to the puck, and scored a goal. Not because he's super fast, not because it was easy, but because Dutchy had the thought to get that puck down the ice quick enough for him to make that play. You could say that the Dutchupov band rocks a different way. I mean, they say Dutch and Yak are never going to mix, but they can all... We've clearly got a case of the sillies, and that's because the Avalanche are playing the kind of hockey that gets you a little bit giddy right now. Sure, they had a bumpy road in New Jersey, but they're not going to win them all. They bounced back, which is good. That's what you want to see. That's what Waugh made a career out of. When he had a shit game, he came back 300 times better the next game. If the Avs have a shit game, I want to see them come back and have a really awesome game. I think that that's what I'm seeing right now. We're only three games in, but it's possible that we're going to be a pretty legit team this year. Maybe we don't make the playoffs, but we're definitely going to be better than we were last year. And if we're showing progress, that's what our fans want to see. As Riker said, if they come home and they play really good hockey, they play like they're going to win and somehow lose, that's fine. But if they don't show up and they don't put in the effort, then this isn't a team that the fans are going to get behind. So this next game is crucial. The Avs need to come home, they need to own this building, and they need to put out the kind of effort that fans can be proud of, that they can be proud of, and the kind of effort that wins games. Oh wait, this is the part that I imagine Yak says after he scores goals and gets the fingers going. Right here, ready?
Head kick.
And there you have it, my case for optimism. I think the Avs are playing really good hockey, and I can't wait to see what they do next. The home opener is tonight, and I hope we're going to rock it. This and every other show that we do is brought to you by AvsFam, AvsFam.com. Awesome hockey shirts for awesome hockey people. Go check them out. There's new shirts. You probably haven't seen them. You should see them because they're awesome. If you like this podcast, tell your friends about it and then go subscribe. Just go to iTunes and search for Colorado Hockey or go to ColoradoHockey.com and click on the button that says Get It On iTunes. Stay awesome.